Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 70, yes 70, we're at the big 7-0 of Internet Marketing, and today, or this week, it is a questions and answers session.
Yes.
I'm joined in the laboratory by Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello.
Who is still expecting his baby, but by the time you hear this, I'm sure his baby will arrive.
Yeah, this is the power of scheduling things in advance. So we've had a few questions here and this was recorded a couple of weeks before it's live. We're talking to you from the future.
Yeah, from the future or the past, though. I get confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have four questions here, which I will attempt to read out, printed on sheets of paper, so there will be a papery, slidey noise as I move each question out of the way.
Should
we start
prepared.
With the first question?
That seems like the best place to start.
The first question is from Dr. Joe. Quite a short question. Could I trouble you to tell me what internet conferencing software you are using to record your interviews? Oh dear, I suppose that's a question for me, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I record
no,
some
no,
as
for
well.
For you as well.
Yeah. I mean, basically, when I've been recording interviews where it's just me, the software I've been using most frequently is I have a MacBook Pro. Plugged into that, I have a microphone going via a USB audio interface, but you could be using any kind of USB microphone to record my vocals. And then what I use is I have the conversation on Skype, and I use a piece of software for the Mac called Audio Hijack Pro, which allows to record what's coming in the microphone and what's coming in via Skype. And then I give that to Andy and he makes it sound pretty.
I discovered... Let me just give you some background on what I do, because I'm a complete audiophile and audio geek. I use multiple computers and lots of wires to record my Skype interviews. If you're just starting or you've only got one computer or you just want to keep it simple... I have to say, Audio Hijack Pro is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
I'm a poet and didn't know it. Basically, what it does, it runs... Does it run on PC as well as Mac?
No, I think it's Mac only.
Oh, okay.
I think there's an equivalent... I think Pamela
is
an equivalent kind of piece of software that hijacks Skype audio.
Yes. So what Audio Hijack... So it looks like it's Mac only. So it's Audio Hijack Pro. And what it does is sort of nicks the audio from whatever device you tell it to. Now, you have to be a bit careful with Audio Hijack Pro because it's so flexible that there's quite a few different ways you can use it. And the way I recommend that you use it is that you make it... You get it to do a recording, a stereo recording, so that you're on one track... And the person on the other end of Skype, or people, if you're doing a conference call, are on the other track.
Yeah.
Because that way, it makes editing a lot easier. Say, for example, you're in the middle of your interview, and suddenly, I don't know, a load of seagulls burst into your office or something and make a big squawking noise. It often happens here in Brighton. Then you can sort of independently mute your track while the other person is carrying on talking as if nothing had happened. Although I'm sure if a group of seagulls had broken in, they'd probably be saying... Is that a group of seagulls that's broken into your office there? And then carry on talking again. But it is a really good piece of software. And I think it's about, is it $30 or something?
Yeah, something like that. It's fairly sort of nominal cost as these kind of things go. And it's really quite powerful. And you can do some interesting things as well, that you can kind of record one person and have them process. So you have a particular piece of software processing their voice. And then a different one, you can set different recording qualities.
So
Skype's not going to sound as good as the real microphone, so maybe you only record it at MP3 quality rather than lossless quality and the like there. So yeah, really good piece of software. I think, like I say, Pamela's the equivalent for PCs.
Yeah, I've heard of Pamela. Yeah.
But yeah.
Pretty May is another one. I've got a client of mine using Pretty May. She swears by it.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few options out there.
Sounds like it should be a boat to me.
Yeah, I know that when I tried to try a load of free trials on the PC when I was doing it, some of those pieces of software are a bit of a nightmare to get rid of once they're on the computer, whereas Audio Hijack's kind of quite self-contained.
Yes,
but on the PC one, there's one called like VoIP Recorder, which, and Grammo, don't download that, you just can't get rid of it. I can't get it off my computer. I've tried as hard as I can, it just won't go away.
Does it follow you home every night?
Yeah,
you will never get rid of me. Let's go to the next question. This is from RX Host, I think that's his Twitter handle.
Yep.
Question for IMPC, that's Internet Marketing Podcast.
If you want to send us a question on Twitter, you can just use that hashtag. So you put #IMPC and me and Addy will pick it up.
Yes, this is a Twitter question, isn't it? Well, not a question via Twitter, but rather than a question about Twitter. How important is Google Maps to your SEO strategy? I think it is vastly overlooked for smaller local business.
Yeah, I mean, I think the chap's completely right there, because for most businesses, their top search terms are going to contain a geographic location. Now, it's very rare if you put any keyword plus a location in it into Google that a map isn't triggered. So if you put Brighton photographer, a map comes up. If you put London hotel, a map comes up. You
know, this is in the search results.
Yeah, in the search results. It's really, really important. And the algorithm that Google used to determine who appears in those map results is different from the normal algorithm. Not drastically, but requires a slightly different approach. And as well, that it used to be, if you were number one for, say you were number one for hotels in London, you'd get all the traffic. Now, because the map's there, you're suddenly halfway down the page.
Yeah.
You might not get anywhere near the traffic you used to when there weren't those maps there. So, I mean, it's one that I think we're, you know, right to acknowledge as a potential issue. I'll give you a quick rundown of some of the things that influence them, but I will say that I've got scheduled in, and I've already made the notes and started recording our next how-to episode, where I lock myself in a cupboard
and brain dump.
Yeah, and that next one's going to be about Google Local. And I'll take you through the ranking factors and how you can do that.
Actually, I've got some supplementary questions, but carry on.
It's things like they don't rely on links, they rely on citations. So that's kind of mentions rather than that kind of thing. Mm. Location is actually a big factor. So you can, you know, if you search for guest house on the Isle of Wight, they cut a huge chunk of the island off. If your guest house is in that chunk, you're done for. So I'll run through that in that special. But yeah, there's an interesting, you know, big opportunity if you're, because it's easier to rank in those. It doesn't take much to rank well in local listings.
Right. Can I ask my supplementary question?
Yeah,
I'm asking a question on my own podcast here. On my iPhone, if you look at a map, there are lots of little squares that show where businesses are. Now, I'm not on there because I've done the old thing where you register your location, then you get the thing through the post to make sure you're really there. But I don't appear as a little square or a little knife and fork. How do you get...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm on about? How do you get
there? They're kind of... Because you can claim your listing and then you get the kind of circle with a... Like a drop pin, they call it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what most people are when they claim their listings. But some people are kind of there on the map as landmarks. I'm not absolutely certain, without going and having to check into it, what causes that, but
it is our mission to find out.
Yeah, I think it's where you're listed from data, sort of removed from what you can. So it's kind of, if you're on the Ordnance Survey map or that kind of thing, where Google are pulling their data from, so old traditional sources of data they tend to use to trigger those kind of little icons you've got there. So that's helpful because you'll appear when people aren't looking for businesses. So if they're just kind of looking at a street and it says, oh, there's a restaurant there, that'll help you in a way you wouldn't. But if someone's searching for restaurants in Brighton, all the drop pins are going to appear anyway. So I think it's marginal benefits having that kind of embedded appearance on the map.
So we'll find out why when you look at your maps on your Google phone, and presumably on Google Maps just on the browser, you see these little squares.
Yeah. And I'll include that on that how-to we're doing. And he's having a coughing fit as we speak. But what I'll do is, when I'm recording that special on how to do well on Google Local, I'll include what causes that and whether there's ways that you can influence it. It's not one I've come across particularly often, but I am aware of it as an issue.
Right, next question. Let's see if I can read this without coughing. This one is from Ben, and Ben says, On a recent podcast, brackets, I forget which brackets, you guys said Google AdWords doesn't affect SEO. That was Google AdWords, by the way. A classic argument, and indeed Google AdWords on search doesn't. However, in tests, Google AdWords on the content network does. If you load your anchor text as the headline of the ad, inevitably your ad is shown on a page as it is spidered by Google. I'm not sure if those links do count, brackets, but they show up in Google links, brackets. However, in tests, the use of the content network with your anchor text in the ad does improve your ranking. I'd give it a test. Enjoying the podcast, keep up the good work. Hopefully when my next book comes out, I can take part. Haha. Cheers, Ben.
Cool. Well, I mean, to take it back a step, we were talking a while ago about whether, if you advertised on AdWords, would you do better in the natural search rankings? And me and Dan and Andy were saying that we didn't think it would, because in many ways, it's not in Google's interest to do that. And I would actually, I'm afraid, Ben, I've not seen the details of your tests here, but I can't see how that would work, because Google AdSense, when it appears on your site, is contained within a piece of JavaScript. So you embed it, and it kind of goes script, tag, has all the bits that call the adverts, and then closes. Google don't, any links that are contained within those kind of JavaScript, Google aren't looking at, they can't look at. So even though it appears when you look at the cached version of the page, it's not actually really being spidered by Google in terms of following those links. So it's the same as if you...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Put like an RSS, you know, you include the BBC News in your in a widget there that's all contained within JavaScript. They're not going to follow the links that are within that JavaScript. So I can't see how a content network advert can benefit your search engine rankings.
Interesting.
Because it can't be spidered. It's kind of
devil's advocate here? From a technical standpoint, totally agree that JavaScript is not really understandable by spiders. However, what if there were a... because presumably that JavaScript that you put in your site for your AdSense has got some sort of unique code in it. How do we know that Google doesn't have an algorithm that says, when you see the unique code, go back to our databases and see what you're putting into it, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the reason I would say they wouldn't is because then effectively people... If this worked, i.e. you could benefit in your search engine rankings from running... content network adverts, what I would say is, well, I am then going to put on the content network for any keyword. You know, I'm going to put and as my keyword that triggers. I'm going to put a one pence bid, so I'll only appear, you know, no one's probably going to click it. I'll put a terrible advert there, but I'm going to appear on these sites, get spied and do very well. That's buying links. Google are so anti-buying links, it's not even true.
You know,
the Google... The Daily Express in the UK have had a bit of a beating over the last week or last month or so, because they've been trying to sell SEO advertorial. They've had their page rank wiped out. You know, Google don't want people doing that. So I just can't envisage. If Ben does have a test, send it through to me and I'll have a look and what you've done there and some of the things. But I think in principle it shouldn't work. And I think strategically I can't understand why Google would do that, because actually they want most of the people who spend money on pay-per-click are the people who don't do well in natural search. So if anything, if Google were going to try and do something nepotistic, it'd be trying to make people who spend money on pay-per-click do worse in the natural search. They're more reliant on it if they're going to be going down that that kind of route. So yeah, sorry Ben, have to agree to disagree on this one,
but feel free to send in any evidence you may accumulate and we'll certainly have a look at that. Fourth and final question, from Richard Hall. He's the director of Fuzzy Culture. Hello Kelvin, I have a possible question for your podcast. For whenever it might be relevant, that would be great to get your help with. I run a small online retail business selling children's clothing, www.fuzzyculture.com. I'll just repeat that, www.fuzzyculture.com.
I've got some nice clothes on there. I had a look, actually.
Have you?
Not in my size, unfortunately. But
I realise that I'm probably far smaller scale than most of your listeners, I would contend that. I think there's a lot of one-man bands listening to us, actually.
Yeah.
And much earlier on in the knowledge curve, but it would be great to get some ideas for great, preferably free, tools to market my product. I've been checking out various places for tips, such as Internet Business Mastery. That's the other podcast, isn't it, we've mentioned? But one thing I'm finding is that, in general, the focus is very much on people selling content rather than an actual product. Seeing as I don't have any regular content to broadcast as such, can I leverage channels such as social networking to help promote myself? Thanks, and keep up the good work. Richard Hall.
Yeah, I think Richard's good to ask there for some free tools. There's some great free tools out there. I mean, it's worth listening back to our podcast we did just before Christmas, where we did like 12 internet marketing tools for Christmas. There were some good tools in there, and we try and include and mention, you know, when we're doing our news and tools episodes, we try and include three or four now. So once a month there'll be two or three new tools that you can look up there, most of which are free or kind of freemium, so there's a free element to the tool that you can use there. But I think he's right to point out that, and this frustrates me a bit, that most of the podcasts and websites and they're out there about promoting your businesses online all assume that you're selling content and you know, ebooks or the like there. So I mean, I find it very frustrating that there's lots of websites about how to make money online telling people how to make money online, and what they tell you is how to make money telling people how to make people online. And it's this kind of weird, I think the world's going to collapse in on itself.
A recursive business model.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all about, you know, if you want to make money online, you need to tell people how to make money online. And yeah, it's all very confusing. Whereas actually what most businesses do is they sell physical products or, you know, proper services to real businesses. And although all these people who do all these kind of content can give you some really interesting, inventive ideas of how you can promote yourself online, if you're not actually selling something physical, you're just selling an ebook or a course, you've got a slightly different approach to what most businesses need to do. So on that front, there's going to be some big news that we're going to be talking about next week in the show, but I won't reveal any more details on that. I know in last week's episode I asked for volunteers, it's connected to that, so stay tuned next week for the big news on that front. But in terms of free tools, there's lots in the SEO sector that are really good. SEObook.com have got some great tools. SEOmoz.org have got some great tools there as well, including OpenSiteExplorer.org, which is really good there as well. In terms of other free tools that I really like, there's some really good Twitter analysis tools. So if Rich is looking into trying to promote himself on Twitter, there's one called Clout, which is K-L-O-U-T, which helps you measure kind of your influence on those sites. But my to say to Richard, the place to start is, I would say, have a blog is a good place to start, and then try once a week writing something that's not directly related to your products but will be of interest to your target customers. So in his case, he's selling children's clothes, so it's the parents of those children that are interested in those clothes. There's probably some more factors about them that make them unique to other people, so why they would choose Fuzzy Culture instead of other, you know, retailers. So write to that audience, produce something that they're going to find interesting. So maybe I know kind of they've got a big focus on, you know, kind of sustainable you know, fabrics and that they're using on the site. So yeah, talk about the difference between sustainable fabrics and not, and why you might want those kind of products for your children and not, and then just regularly start to build that content up, point people at it on your site. And then you've then got content that will start to do well in search engines. You can start to promote on Twitter and that kind of thing.
I mean, I did notice that Richard says, I don't have any regular content to broadcast. What I would say in response to that is, if you're And don't get me wrong here, you don't have to necessarily be passionate about your business.
Yeah.
It depends how you're sort of related to it. But if you are passionate about your business and what you're doing, if you're passionate about anything, you've always got content. So it might be a blog, it might be a podcast, it might just be a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like backing up what you just said, I suppose, Kelvin.
Yeah.
It's just the content. I mean, it's just showing people your passion and putting out stuff that is useful to other people.
Mm. And I mean, yeah, a lot of people I know sometimes are reticent when we say, oh, you know, start a blog. They're like, well, I'm not a very confident writer. I don't like writing. It's getting easier and easier to start putting up video and audio content.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a site called Audioboo.
Audioboo is pretty cool. Yeah.
And you can get that as an application for your phone, or you can do it just on your computer, and it allows you to quickly and easily, you know, record a little podcast like this. You know, it's very different because we're kind of producing something that's very regular. But if you just want to kind of record your voice on a phone talking about the new products you've got coming out that month, or why, you know, your products are going to be delayed because of the Ash Cloud or whatever it is that's kind of interesting, Audioboo is a great way to start that, where you can just like imagine you're on the phone to one of your customers talking about your product. Start recording content like that and putting it up, because it'll build build a relationship there. And I mean, a good example of a website that is similar to Richard's there is called Wiggly Wigglers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I've mentioned this quite a few times on the show. And
we interviewed her.
Yeah,
We interviewed the Wiggly Wigglers lady quite early on in internet marketing.
Yeah. And yeah, they're brilliant. They've got podcasts, they've got blogs, and I'd really look at them as an inspiration for some of the things you can do, Richard. You don't need to do all of them straight away, but, you know, trial one, see how it goes. If it's got a good ROI, try some more.
Excellent. Well, that rounds up the questions for today.
And just to mention that in next week's episode, we've got some very big news about the Internet Marketing Podcast. So last week I asked for some volunteers, and it's related to that. But just to say, you know, if you do tune into just one episode straight away, do tune into next week's, because it's probably some of the biggest news, even bigger, I think, than when we went weekly.
We just seem to have bigger and bigger news on this podcast.
Onwards and upwards.
So that's it from me, Andy White, and from
me, Kelvin Newman.
See you soon. In fact, we'll see you next week. Have a good week. Bye. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.